Just this week, Governor Greg Abbott signed one of the most restrictive abortion bills in the country. And now the Texas legislature has several bills targeting transgender youth. What can you tell us about those?
And both of those issues, the abortion issue and the transgender issues, are part of this broader national movement in states that are controlled by Republicans. And you know, what we're seeing in Texas is an attempt to deny, for example, what's referred to as gender-affirming care to children who have identified as transgender. And generally, these are like puberty-blocking drugs. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what's involved, but it's nothing that's not reversible. And so the legislature has been debating these bills that would block access to the gender-affirming care, would classify parents who provide gender-affirming medical care to their children as child abusers, and also prohibit transgender children from participating in sports in the gender in which they identify. They would be the state sort of choosing which gender they'd be allowed to participate in. So all of these are building up, and it's taking quite a toll on families and the transgender children themselves. So Renee Klagic, who's been covering these issues for us, spent some time with families of transgender children to really examine the stress that this is putting on families. And one of the young girls she talked to has seen her school participation really decline over the recent months because she's just basically said, why should I try? If Texas passes these bills, we're going to have to leave Texas. And we do know from experiences in other states that these kinds of bills have sort of increased suicide attempts among trans children who already face extremely high suicide risk. And I think that the issue is still largely not well understood among many people. So Renee's article gives a real close look at the challenges that these families of trans children face every day.
And El Pasoans received their new property valuation notices, and it might have been a bit of a shock.
Yeah, we're looking at big property tax increases if government doesn't provide some relief, and that's an important consideration. One of the things that often happens in El Paso is the governments will keep the tax rate the same, even though valuations have increased, and said, oh, we didn't increase taxes. It was, you know, the property values going up that caused it, which just isn't true. And that's one of the things we try to point out in the story, is that what I just described is a tax increase, no matter what anybody calls it, because your tax bill goes up. And so we did a pretty deep analysis of all of the property valuations in El Paso and found that something like 130,000 homeowners, which is the bulk of the county's population, will be facing property tax increases of at least 10% unless the local governments provide some relief on tax rates as they set their budgets in the coming months. This is a huge issue for El Pasoans. Obviously, home values have gone up, home prices have gone up in El Paso during the pandemic because there was a real high demand for houses and not enough inventory. That's had an impact on people who didn't sell their houses then because they're seeing their home values rise and potentially their property tax bills.
And is it too late now for El Pasoans to protest those new valuations?
Unless they got their appraisal notice late, it largely is. There are still some people who are receiving the valuations, so they have 30 days. But this past Monday was the deadline for most people to protest. They can still protest again next year.
And when it comes to the environment, there's a new normal.
I think this comes as no surprise to any of us who've been living in the Southwest over the years. You know, in some ways, you know, there's the story of how you boil a frog. You just slowly turn up the temperature on the water, and the frog doesn't notice. And I think in some ways that's what we're experiencing here too. But every 10 years, the National Weather Service resets what are considered normal temperatures for each day of the year. In our region, the average temperature throughout the year has gone up by 7/10 of a degree, which may not sound like much, but it's a really a huge, huge increase that's altering the way that we live our lives here. Probably the most noticeable impact immediately is on farmers, and it's becoming more and more difficult for farmers to grow their crops, and pecan trees are probably exhibit A in this because of the rising temperatures and lower rainfall that we're getting in our watershed. But it's not just the farmers, it's impacting urban life too. Unfortunately, it gets a little bit politicized, so it's hard to have conversations about it. But we're going to either have to adapt to those changes, or we're going to have to take steps that maybe can impact climate change and slow its growth rate.
And maybe a little of both.
A little both, yep.
All right, Bob. You can find these stories and more at ElPasoMatters.org. Thank you for the update.
Thank you so much, Casey, and have a good weekend.